All right, good evening, church.
Good evening.
The effectual prayers of a saint. Pretty powerful. So, you can turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 3. I was debating on whether to continue on in what we've been looking at in Corinthians, but when I looked at some of the verses recently, it's really verses about stuff that I've been thinking about anyway, so let's go ahead and continue. And I was told today by a pretty sharp guy that there's some things that I could tweak about when I'm up here, and I'm going to be working on not reading so much, but actually talking to you guys. And I've been working on that a little bit, but so hopefully you can give me some grace if that doesn't turn out real well. If not, so be it. So this is actually something that Mr. Tool actually worked on, I believe, not too long ago, maybe a year or two ago, about working off the foundation of Christ. But I'm hoping to take a little bit different approach, a little bit different angle to some of this. So let's just read 1 Corinthians 3, starting in verse 5 through 15. What then is Apollos, and what is Paul, servants through whom you believed? Even as the Lord gave opportunity to each one. I planted, Apollos watered, but God causes the growth. So then neither the one who plants nor the one who waters is anything but God who causes the growth. Now he who plants and he who waters are one, but each one will receive his own reward according to his own labor. For we are God's fellow workers. You are God's field, God's building. According to the grace of God, which was given to me, like a wise master builder, I laid a foundation, and another is building on it. Each man must be careful how he builds on it. For no man can lay a foundation other than the one which is laid, which is Jesus Christ. Now, if any man builds on the foundation with gold, silver, precious stones, wood, hay, straw, each man's work will become evident. For the day will show it, because it is to be revealed with fire, and the fire itself will test the quality of each man's work. If any man's work which he has built on it remains, he will receive a reward. If any man's work is burned up, he will suffer loss, but he himself will be saved, yet so as through fire. Let's have a quick word of prayer here. So, Father God, we know you are the master builder. You are in control of all things, and it's just an amazing blessing, as we've well brought out before, to be called as your workers. And the fact that you have given us everything that we need pertaining to life and godliness, and the servitude that you have presented to us is a miracle as well. So I just pray that you would help me to deliver from your word this exhortation to be builders like you. And that we would build well with all of the provisions that you have given us. We thank you for Jesus, who goes before us as the example. And it's in his name that I pray. Amen. And so, you know, as a quick reminder, recap from what we've looked at previously in 1 Corinthians. You know, 1 Corinthians brings out real well that God is, he deserves all the glory, right? He's the master builder, and he is the foundation, what we're going to look at. We just get to receive victory in that. Pretty good deal, right? He does most of the heavy lifting, but God gets all the glory. And it's his working, really. And so what we want to look at is, no matter what we do apart from God, if we don't build on him, it's going to fail. Our work is going to, it won't accomplish what it's supposed to. And so if we want to be successful in our efforts in that, then we need to build on him as the foundation. And it says that, you know, who is Paul? Who is Apollos? And who is Paul? Paul uses them, himself and Apollos, as examples, right? And he says, who are they? He says, we are servants, right? And so we are servants through whom you believed. And so God causes the growth, and so there's, you know, he's the foundation by which the house of God is built on, of course, and we're laboring in that effort. But He is the foundation. He causes the growth. And so really there's no boasting. There's no room for any boasting for anyone in Christ Church. It's really Him. He gives us those provisions that I brought up in my prayer. He gives us everything we need to do that work. And so all glory, again, goes to Him. But we want to make sure that we don't, we do this work freely and willfully without grudging and without grudging or under compulsion, because God loves a cheerful giver, right? He loves a cheerful worker. And so we don't, okay, so we have to do this work. Oh, all right, I guess I'll have a Bible study, and oh, I guess I'll go read my scriptures today. No, that's with a good heart and with a good intention. It's like it's often brought out up here by a lot of the guys, is it's why, the why behind what we're doing. Our why is the powerful thing that Mr. Toole brought out recently. The why is very, very powerful. And so we want to do that from a good heart. So, you know, Paul says that I planted, Apollos watered, and God causes the growth. And so we get to share in that victory, and that's an incredible thing. But what we need to recognize and keep in mind is that He is the foundation. Psalm 127 verse 1 says, unless the Lord builds the house, they labor in vain who build it, right? We mention that quite often. Unless the Lord guards the city, the watchman keeps awake in vain. And so we want to make sure that the Lord is the master builder. We don't want to get ahead of the Lord. And so some of the things that we're going to look at is how we approach that individually and collectively as His church. So it doesn't matter what we're doing. It doesn't matter if it's in our efforts of building a business. It doesn't matter if it's in efforts of having a solid family core. If God is not the foundation from which we build, it's not going to succeed. And so we want to keep that in mind. And so whatever we're efforting, and it's particularly what God's talking about here is His church. Although we can't, obviously, the church is made up of individuals, so we have to talk about that as well. But the thrust of this passage is about His church. And so no foundation, Paul says, can be laid other than that of on Jesus Christ. And so we want to be diligent to adhere to His words. We want to be diligent to adhere and follow His example. He is the foundation. And so, but this passage, the thrust of this passage is to us. It says those who are committed to the foundation of Christ. And so we want to be diligent in that regard. And so what you find out there in the religious marketplace is some of the policies, some of their procedures, you know, some of their strategies that other churches out there, I'm using the bunny ears, that they've adopted, they can be real dangerous. Okay, real dangerous. Why is that? Well, for one, it's not from God. There's your first danger, all right? And so the danger for the church of God is to somehow make concessions. And Mr. Toole preached a barn burner at Peaks. Don't sell this thing short. Don't make concession. Because that's the dangerous part, is when we make concession on what the foundation of Christ is. The foundation of Christ is His Word. Okay? And so we need to stand on that firm foundation of Christ, His words of truth. And so He is the final authority. And so God gets all the glory, right? God causes all things to grow. But there is responsibility on us, brethren. God causes the growth, but we just can't kick back and cool our heels, can we? We are God's mechanism. And so without our effort, the work is not going to get done. And so because it's important too, because the next thing that Paul says here is build right. Okay? Build right. If we don't build right, there won't be any fruit coming from our efforts. We have to build according to the plan, according to the pattern that we've been given. And so, well, there won't be any lasting growth, I'll say that. And so that's a particular part of this passage that we want to emphasize. And so, you know, I was thinking about, you know, you look at some of the, what's the condition of our world today, particularly in this country. Where did we go off the rails? And obviously it's because it's becoming a godless society. But it's also, we have a responsibility in that too, because it's about passing things on to the next generation, right? That's the responsibility of parents, is to bring up your children in the authority of the Lord. And so, you know, I think what the older generation has for them is that, you know, they have a strong work ethic. Okay, it's pretty obvious. People don't want to work today. Kids, younger people, not all young people, okay? The majority of young people there don't know what it means to work. Have no clue. Okay, is that their fault? It's not their fault. They were never taught to work hard. And so the other thing, the other mindset that I think that the older generations have is they had a mentality of building for a future. They built for a foundation. They wanted to build a foundation for their children and their children's children. Okay? They're thinking long term. What do people think nowadays? I want this immediately. Immediate gratification. And brethren, most of us here tonight, not all of us, but most of us have grown up and were raised in that environment pre-Christ. I got to get this now. Immediate gratification. Okay? Here's an example. McDonald's. McDonald's came into existence. And now, can you go through the drive-thru in McDonald's and have it fast to your liking? I caught myself recently like, what is going on here? You know, it wasn't McDonald's. It was actually Taco John's, but Taco Tuesday, six-pack and a pound. Oh, yeah. Now, when I had a six-pack, I could pound a six-pack, but not anymore. But so, no. Where was I going with that? Oh, yeah. So I got thinking about tacos. I didn't eat dinner tonight, so I'm hungry. I found myself in line at Taco John's thinking, what is taking so long? What? And I just caught myself like, to settle down, it's only been a minute. Like, so there's a big difference there too between the generations of old and our generation now. It's like we have to have that immediate gratification. So us Christians, we're building for the future, right? We're building that foundation. And so we have to have a mind shift there a little bit in that from that immediate gratification, we have to build today knowing that we might not see the results tomorrow. Okay? Okay, so we're going to have that in mind. So Paul says, but he's saying inspired by the Holy Spirit that we need to build well in that, you know, we might not see the benefits of what our efforts are today, but for a long-lasting family, in this family, we have to put the work in today in that there will be a solid tomorrow. Okay, so we're going to look at the individuals in the church, and then we're going to look at, because, you know, without the individual, there is no church, but what the thrust of this, again, is looking at the church as a whole. And so, individually, we need to build well. And it's what Paul's bringing out here as well. There's a side of that. But one of the great lies out there in religiosity is once saved, always saved. And we talk about that a lot. It's been well brought out of recent times. But, you know, I can give you a number of scriptures that will refute that, but one comes to mind: you have fallen from grace and you have been severed from Christ. Clearly, scriptures prove that and teach that it's possible to fall away. It's just one example. Now, we don't want that to be our focus, do we? We don't want that to be our focus. But our focus needs to be long term. Again, the long term picture. I just got a hair in my mouth. Sorry. That's interesting. So we're going to run through this thing. We're going to run through this thing through the finish line, right? That's our mentality. The book of Revelations, we know, brings out that he who overcomes will receive the reward, right? So he who overcomes, brethren, if we don't build well, it's not going to last. If we as individuals don't build well, and if we collectively aren't building well, this thing's not going to last. And so, as individuals, if we don't build well, those fires will come, right? That our text brought out. The fires will come, and if what we did isn't solid, it's going to burn up, and then we will suffer, it says. So we have to build well. The storms of life, the fires of life will come. They will come. That's a certainty. And so many of us have experienced some of that in our Christian walk already. We've experienced that in our lives. Some of us are undergoing some things like that now, today. And so here's the thing, brethren. We're either preparing to win or we're preparing to lose. Right now, at this moment. Either take the easy way out or we're stepping up and we're taking the right way. Okay? We need to decide and choose that right way. We need to prepare and we need to build right. We need to build well. And so we have these things in our mind all the time, don't we? We stop and come, you know, think about which way are we going to go if this happens? Which way are we going to go if this other thing happens? And how are we going to respond? Are we going to go down that old broken down mindset path that leads to destruction? It's easy. Or are we going to go on the path of righteousness, the way that leads to life? Okay. And I'm not saying that it's easy. It's not easy, right? We know that. And Scripture says that it's with difficulty that the righteous is saved. Okay. But it takes effort. And we gotta choose to step up. And that's a choice that each of us individually will have to make. And so the reality is that each of us, each one of us will individually, we're going to give an account on the day of judgment, right? As individuals. We're not going to be judged on the final day as a congregation. We're not going to be judged as the Billings congregation, okay? We're not going to look at this with regards to of husband and wife, okay? Or friend, best friend, whatever the case is. We're going to be before the judgment seat of God as individuals. Now, we're going to look at this with regards to the local congregation, but that's, you know, the thrust of this passage is that, you know, on J-Day, we're definitely going to be individuals. We're not going to, and we don't need to belabor that. We've talked about that before. So it's going to be individually, one at a time. And so here's the thing. You can have a great congregation, right, of saints. But within the congregation, there are individuals that aren't going to make it. You have that. And then you can also have a congregation that's weak and struggling. But within that congregation, you have a few individuals that will make it to heaven. And so, you know, I look at the book of I can't see the clock, so I guess I'm off the hook. The book of Revelation talks about the congregation at Sardis, right? It says you have a few there who have not soiled your garments. And so this is definitely done on an individual basis. Luke chapter 14, we're going to turn there. Luke chapter 14, you know, I like to read this I don't think about it, but I like to try to remember to read this in Bible studies when we first start and just throw this out to people that, you know, somewhere along the way before they choose to be immersed into Christ Jesus for the forgiveness of their sins, that they need to really know what they're getting into, right? And it's not just a numbers game. Matter of fact, in the context in which it comes up in Luke 14 and 25, great multitudes were going along with them. And so Jesus turns and says to them, he lays some things out, right? He says, are you sure you guys know what you're doing? Are you really sure? Because, you know, I really want you to make this thing to the finish line. Are you sure? You know what you're getting into? And so we'll look at verses 28 through 30 of Luke 14 rather. Luke 14, 28. For which one of you, when he wants to build a tower, does not first sit down and calculate the cost to see if he has enough to complete it? Otherwise, when he has laid a foundation and is not able to finish, all who observe it begin to ridicule him, saying, this man began to build and was not able to finish. Okay. God wants us individually to think about what it costs. To think about what it means to build well. Okay? Not just go through the motions. It's not just a numbers game. There's actual calculations that we can apply to this to a degree. Not real calculations, but you get my drift. Okay? We have to know well what we are doing and what we are getting into. And so there's that encouragement. We've all seen it. Construction starts on a job. It gets three quarters of the way done and construction stops. And it sits there. And it sits there. Day after day, month after month, sometimes years after years. You remember a few years back, driving into Bozeman, one of the first exits there as you go to the church building, I believe it's 7th, and you pull off for many years, they started to build a hotel there, right? And then, you know, it's going well, it just like almost they threw it up. And it got to about 90% completion and it just sat there. Like this biggest eyesore in the beautiful Bozeman, right? And it just sat there, just untouched, I think, for 2 or 3 years. And then finally, someone comes along, and whatever it required to finish it had finished it. And so it's important that it's, you know, when we don't want to be the point of ridicule, right? We want to make sure that we're able to, that we have what it takes to finish what we start. And so there's great ridicule in that. You know, I don't know why that hotel didn't, what happened there. I would assume that maybe there were some financial things, issues there, or maybe that was the city had some requirements but they should have known that ahead of time, right? And that's the encouragement and the exhortation that we get from scriptures. Brethren, God doesn't want us to be that. Okay? He doesn't want that for us. He doesn't want us to be a source of ridicule. Right, and so we need to take a gut check on occasion, make sure that we're going to get this thing done and that we're going to run it through to the finish line. And so I just wanted to throw that in there. But the main thrust here has to do with in reference to the building of a congregation. Building up of a congregation. There's particular application in this for Mr. Toole as the evangelist. There's particular application for the leadership guys. Yeah, but I don't want you to think that this doesn't apply to each of us individually, because it does. Last time I checked, it said that the assembly of the saints was for the building up of the saints, not for the congregation or the leadership or Mr. Toole. So each of us has a stake in this, and so what we are is. The main thrust is for the leadership, but it's that, you know, it's that includes all of us as individuals. I'm laboring this point and we don't need to because I'm out of time. So, building up. We're either building up or we're tearing down, aren't we? If we're building, then we want to build right. You know, it's something that, you know, God wants us to build well again. And I think particularly it's an emphasis to the leadership here, but as individuals, we want to build right. And so, I'm not usually a big storyteller, but, you know, you have this story. Everyone knows it. It's the three little pigs, right? I like the story. My daughter likes the story, although we haven't read it of late. But you have these three little pigs, right? And so they're getting out. They're getting out from under mom and dad's wings. They want to go out and they want to build it. And that's good for you as young guys. It's good for you to go out and take the reins at some point. Not too soon, though. But at some point, you want to get out of mom and dad's house. So the three pigs, they're going to build their houses, right? The first pig, he's like, hey, I'm going to build a house of straw, right? No big deal. And he wipes it out, boom, bada bing, bada boom, and he's done. He's out there partying, right? Okay, I'm good. The next pig comes along, he's going, oh, I think I'm going to use sticks. You know, pretty good thing. I can do this pretty quick. Wham, bam, boom, he gets his house built with sticks. The third pig, not so quick. Okay, he's building his, he's taking his time. He's building, put those bricks in there just right. He's building it solid, taking his time. The other two are like ridiculing him, like, hey, come on, let's go party. What are you doing? You're taking so long. What's going on? What, do I have an accent all of a sudden? Oh, sorry. I don't know how that happens. actually, I do. So, where was I? Oh, yeah. The third pig starts to build. You know, he's taking his time. And, you know, we all know the story. What the story doesn't tell us about the three little pigs is how long did it take the wolf to show up? Doesn't tell us that in the story, right? We don't know. But what if that pig, what if that wolf shows up before we're ready? He shows up and he knocks at the door. And he says, little pig, let me in. Not by the hair of my chinny chin chin. Well, I'm going to huff and I'm going to puff. And I'm going to blow that thing down. And he blows that house of straw down. What does the pig do? Runs to brother's house. The second one gets blown down. What do the two of them? They go to the guy that built with a solid house with brick. Okay, and they take refuge in there because he built well. He built well. Now, brethren, the scriptures don't tell us about a wolf that's come, a big bad wolf, right? But he does, last time I checked, there is an adversary that prowls around like a roaring lion. Think he's going to come knocking someday? I think he probably will. In fact, scripture tells us that he will. And so, let me ask you this question. Do you think the devil wants the Church of Christ to succeed? No. No, he does not. And so, we have to be prepared. We have to build well, is what the encouragement there is. And so, you know, and when it says fire here in the scriptures that we started out with, I don't think that's the day of judgment. I think that, again, if you don't build well, like the three little pigs, their house is going to fall down. If we don't build well, our work is going to go up in flames. And so we have to be ready and willing to build well. And so if you're going to do... You've probably heard this. A lot of you probably have. I heard it all growing up myself. If you're going to do something, son, right, do it right. If you're going to do something, do it right, right? And so it doesn't take... here's the thing. If this thing is real, if this thing isn't real, what are we doing? Is that a fair question? If this isn't real, what are we doing? You know, and that's why I think that one of the best studies, again, that we can do is proving that this is real. Because if this isn't real to us, and that fire come, the fires of life come, and the storms of life come, are we going to stand on this? Nope. It has to be real. And so that's the foundation, the firm foundation that God is talking about in these verses. And so we are out of time, and I'm actually only halfway through my notes. As usual, no big whoop. So we'll stop there, and I got a part two to do. So let's close with a word of prayer. Father God in heaven, we do. We're so very grateful and thankful for you that we can not only know our Creator, but be known by you, and to know the love that you have poured out for us. That you did not even hold back your only Son. That you sent him as an offering for us. And so as your chosen race, as your royal priesthood, we find that you are in control, but we do have a job to do. And so we're grateful for your scriptures that map that out for us. I just pray that we would look intently into your word, that we can know Christ, we can know our purpose in him, and who we've been created to be through his death and sacrifice. So we're grateful for him again. We thank you and praise you in his name. Amen. Thanks, everyone.